It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection. Enjoyed the song service. Appreciate Victor leading the singing. And the prayers should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we know when we worship God in the right spirit, we have the right attitude. When we worship God in truth, the things that we do come from the Bible, truth. And so this morning I want to talk about a closer walk with God. Just a closer walk with God. We sing that beautiful song. And so this is what I want to deal with. A closer walk with God, continuing to grow. Continuing to grow. And I do want to just say it doesn't matter the size of the congregation. God's people must continue to grow in spirit, in strength, in things of that nature is what I'm looking at. Not necessarily growing in number, which, you know, that'd be nice, but sometimes that don't happen because people are not interested. And so we do know that growth is necessary in all areas of life. Growth in a business, you know, they grow and must grow. In business, in science, they grow. Look at the science, it just keeps growing. Industry and so on. So we can see how important growth is. This is especially true in our lives as Christians. God wants us to grow. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 is the first scripture I want to look at. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 14. And we know that God has given us, we have everything we need to know from the Bible to grow. If we would just study those things and work on growth. We know that he can make us complete when we follow his word. But Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so when people, and I underscore carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. We have to be careful because men are very cunning. They are very cunning. I tell females, be careful because men are very cunning. We do know that. They're very cunning. I tell even men, be careful. Just Satan, he's very cunning. And so we don't want to be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. In cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Just watch it around Christmas time because people are out to get your money and to trick you. Call you up, give sad stories, don't send them anything. Just be careful. And always remember when you're at the mall or wherever you are, when someone approach you, they want something. When they approach you, they want something. But look what Paul tells these brethren. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. We need to grow up in all things, is what he's saying. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow up in all things. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 now. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 2, where Peter has something to say about this. Well, let me get over here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 2. And these scriptures we have read many, many times before. We have nothing new. I tell brethren, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new doctrine. These scriptures we're going to hear over and over. I can do an outline, build a sermon, but I'll go back to some of the same scriptures because we have nothing new. Sometimes brethren want to have a meeting, want you some new stuff. I don't have nothing new. Y'all gonna get me in trouble. I have nothing new. Same old scripture, same good. They're good. It's God's word, and it's good news. But we don't have nothing new. You know, I could build them up and build up have a title, 1 through 5, and then start at the top and preach that sermon, and then next year start at the bottom and go up, and you wouldn't even know the difference. You see what I'm saying? Because we got to use the same scriptures. But here's what he says here, 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Underscore, babes desire the pure milk of the word. A babe's desire the pure milk. And we need the word, we need it. The babies need the milk. He's given us an example how babies desire milk. And I remember Phyllis taught me to feed the babies when they were babies, and she wouldn't let me do that until I learned how to do that. But here's what I noticed. When I was feeding, I would play with them, and they'd have the bottle, and then I would ease it out of their mouth. Guess what they would do? They grabbed the bottle. They didn't grab me. They grabbed the bottle. They desired that milk. And I use that for an illustration because we need to grab a hold of the word. Those of us who are Christians desire the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. You can see where I'm coming from. We just need to grab a hold of that word like the babies grab a hold of the bottle. Look at 2 Peter 3:18 now. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So what Peter is teaching Christians, these saints, in order to remain steadfast, Christians must continue to grow. Must continue to grow. Now grow in this verse is present, indicative, and means continue to grow. It doesn't matter how old we are. Man can be 70, 80, or 90 years old, but there's always room for improvement. There's room for growth, and God wants us to grow. I remember one time, sometimes men would say, my wife is a very strong lady, and that's good. But what about you? What about you? I did a meeting in Texas, and I kind of talked about some of that. The preacher will say, get you a pencil and paper and write the scriptures down. And then a lot of times what men do, they want their wives to write it down. He said, I want you men to write these scriptures down. He's waiting for them to write it down, too. I want you to write it down. He's always wanting a wife. I was talking to a guy here in the neighborhood, and I showed him about the app, the Bible, where he'll read. Some of those words are hard to pronounce. And he said he don't like to read those. Too much of that because he can't pronounce the words. I said, I can't either, but here's an app that you can go on and it'll read it to you. He said, oh, my wife got that. Yeah, I was talking about what the wife got. I want to know what you got. We all are to grow. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 3 now. Everybody, we all need to grow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Where Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. He wanted them to grow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And Paul bragged on these brethren. He bragged on them. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Underscore, your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So Paul, he bragged on these brethren here. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Paul felt he was obligated to give thanks to God for the Thessalonian Christians. He was obligated to thank them, give thanks to God. He felt obligated because his concern had been answered. He prayed for these brethren, and God answered his prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10 now, look at 3 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. This is what he did. Look at Paul. He had his mind on these brethren. Night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Paul prayed for these brethren. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 10. He prayed for these brethren. And the Bible says, and night and day praying exceedingly. I believe that Paul prayed at night for these brethren, and he prayed in the daytime. He didn't pray 24/7 around the clock, because he slept. But he prayed for them in the daytime, and he prayed for them at night. Here, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. That's what Paul did. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12 now. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. And before I read 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, we read 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Paul wanted to impart the spiritual teaching to these brethren, this spiritual information to them, so it would strengthen them, and so they would be encouraged and be built up. That's why Paul wanted this spiritual information. They wanted them to be taught. And we know that's part of the work of the church, is not only once you baptize, but you got to teach people. And in the teaching people, that builds them up. Okay? And so, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, let's look at this here. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. See what he says there? And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And that's what he says there. We want to grow. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow. And so let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3 now. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. I know I'm going to Thessalonians a lot. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Remember what Paul told these brethren? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. They had Bible love in them, and that love would it abound. Even during persecution, their faith was growing. That's something to think about. This is what Paul wanted. When we go through persecution, can brethren see that our faith is growing? When I go through persecution, can they see that my faith is growing? Their individual love for one another was growing. See, thy love must keep on growing. Two of the greatest virtues of the Christians were growing in the Thessalonian Christians. Their faith and love grew. Paul was most thankful for these brethren. He said he was thankful. He told them, wrote them up, and was thankful for them. Paul did not, and here's a thing here, that you all can help me with this. Do you not notice, as I read the New Testament, Paul never did ask the brethren, how many members do you have? Now, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But I wonder, when brethren ask you that, what's their motive for asking? Are they nosy? But Paul never did ask them how many members you have. He would always talk about them. He was concerned about their growing, about their being stronger, and things of that nature. He never asked them how many members they had. I don't find that. If you do, let me know. He was thankful to God that their faith grows exceedingly, and that they had the proper love for one another. Now look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4 now. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4, and I'm going to move on here. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience. Said Paul was bragging on these brethren, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations that you endured. So Paul, he bragged on these brethren. God wants us to grow, and we can grow. Spiritual growth must be well-rounded, balanced. It's got to be balanced growth. We've got to balance it out, but we've got to grow. The Christian must grow in knowledge, in zeal, in faith. What about that zeal? I got a sermon, Come and See My Zeal for the Lord. It's back in 20. It might have been 97. I got it somewhere. I remember it. Come and see. And I got it from the Old Testament, where one of the prophets said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. We should have zeal for God. And so the Christian must grow in knowledge, in zeal, in faith, in Christ-like character, in good works. Christ-like character. The Christian must not be full of knowledge while his disposition remains unchristlike. This applies at work. When something, I remember, of course I'm retired now, when something would break out, how do we handle that at work? Some handle it well. Some of those guys go to cussing their other thing. But I shouldn't laugh about that, but anyway. Why do all of that? I said, why are you doing that? It's not going to help the situation. We want to be Christ-like. This applies at home. It applies at work, it applies at home. One preacher said he went to visit some members one time and said they was arguing so much, he just turned around and went and he knocked on the door. Said he heard all that. So he said he didn't knock, he just heard him, he turned around. And we need to be Christ-like. Growing in Christ is not automatic. It's just not automatic. It takes work. One may still be a babe after many years. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. We got some time here and I'm almost done. So let's look at this here. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You've heard it before. Hebrews 5:13. And the point is, a person can be in the church for 50 years and it's sad to say, can still be a babe. They can be in a congregation where there's 100 people there. And he's been in the big, he likes large congregations, and he's been there, and yet he still could be a babe. Age don't have anything to do with that. I want to say that. 1 Corinthians 3, look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 and 2. I take my time. I'm almost done. Don't need me rushing through it. But here's the Corinthians. They just had some problems. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. And our brethren could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Carnal means they were fleshly minded. They wasn't spiritually minded, they were fleshly minded. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now, you are still not able. Paul saying at every time that they should have been on this meat of the word, they were still on the milk of the word. Okay. Growth requires effort. How much effort do we put in growing? How much effort do I put in growing? So effort, growth requires effort. A lot of people don't want to put much effort to it, but it's going to require some effort. But those who are spiritually lazy will simply follow the course of least resistance. Sometimes people in the church, in the body of Christ worldwide, try to see how less they can do, what they can do, you know, least resistance. A brother told me one time, I was asking him to do some things, and he just told me, he looked at me straight in my eyes and said, Brother Woods, I'd go across town and have to do none of that. Well, you can do that, but you won't grow if you have an attitude like that. And so growth requires effort. And nothing wrong with a large congregation. I'm not condemning none of that. But I'm just saying, it don't matter the size. God wants us to grow. Whether you've been a congregation with 100 people or 700 people, God still expects us to grow. And not only does God want us to grow, the Great Commission. He wants us to go and teach all nations as individuals. Do your part in teaching people. So growth requires effort. But those who are spiritually lazy will simply follow the course of least resistance. Such will forever remain babes. They're going to remain babes if they do not fall away altogether. Sometimes people get like that and they just completely quit. They just completely quit. We don't want them to quit, but nothing we can do about it if people get just not interested, you know. What about discouragement? Some people make a good beginning, but get discouraged and quit. You can think of people who quit. Could have been discouragement. Discouragement. There's no story, I think I get it right, where man was getting rid of all of his junk, and there was old crowbar that he got rid of all of it except that, and somebody came in, the Satan, came and got the crowbar. And then the man, somebody asked, "What you got that old crowbar for, Satan?" He said, "Well, I can take this crowbar and pry into people's mind and sow discouragement." Satan knew, didn't he? He could sow discouragement in our hearts, and we don't want that. We don't want to be discouraged. Some people make a good beginning, but get discouraged and they quit. I thank you all for not quitting. Appreciate you for not quitting. There's so many people, and I don't even know the people. When we were doing door knocking, even in this, back over there, there were people that I met. He said, "Oh yeah, I used to be a member of so-and-so," and they called him. But I quit. And sometimes it just discouragement. Reason may vary, church troubles, but that's no reason to quit. There's just no reason to quit. I tell people this. I said, we have trouble on our job. I had a bunch of stuff going on when I was working on my second job. I ain't gonna hold you too long. Working on my second job, man, we were rocking and rolling at times. The leadership, the employees, but I didn't quit until my time was up. And I worked 44 years. I'm not quitting Jesus. I may have troubles, and I'm going to have them, persecutions, but they're supposed to make us stronger. And so reason may vary, church troubles, personal problems, sometimes people quit, lack of encouragement from others. We don't want to be a fault finder, and nobody's here doing that. But sometimes people, they're fault finders, and that can discourage people. We don't want that. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see the fruit of the Spirit working in them, it could just be patience. They may not have them all, but whatever they have, and they're working on that, patience or whatever, point that out and encourage them. I appreciate your patience. Point that out. And we all need to be encouraged. Everybody needs. Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop. And next week, I'm going to do a part two on this. And I'm going to talk about the Apostle Paul. Now, you talk about a man who went and had a lot of troubles and had a lot of hard times and was beaten and left for dead and all of that. And that man was still rejoiced. He was rejoicing that he was doing it for God. We're talking about him. He's a good example. Jesus is a good example. So there may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If not, you need to hear it. You've heard the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." Need to believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. Jesus tells us, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Need to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. "Except you repent," Jesus said, "you're going to perish." Got to repent. Need to confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32. Jesus tells us, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you." Preacher can't make nobody do nothing. The elders can't make nobody do nothing. If you deny him, he's going to deny you. need to be baptized, got to think here for a second, need to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, after the Jews had crucified Christ, they wanted to know what they must do. Peter, boy, I mean, he was preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and he pricked the Jews' heart, and they stopped him right in his sermon. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us 3,000 people obeyed the gospel on that day. That's when the Church of Christ was established in Jerusalem around AD 33. Anything after that is too late. Anything before that is too early. And it didn't start, it's got to start on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem around AD 33. I tell people that when I have the opportunity. And what happened after Christ established his church, and he said he would in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I'll build my church, nothing to stop me from building. After he established and built his church, 300 years later, the Catholics started. All you got to do is go to your history. It's all there. And the Methodists, Baptists, Catholics, all that stuff is just a denomination. And it's just going to be destroyed when Jesus comes back. If you are a Christian out there and you fall away, have fallen away, please make it right while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.